program. Well, it's the beginning of the new school year, and with us in studio to talk about a very exciting, I think, innovative program by the Orfila Foundation's School Food Initiative. This is to help children of Santa Barbara County and beyond, we hope, make healthy food choices throughout their lives. It's a challenging situation as we find most children today eating fast foods, guzzling 64 ounces of Coke, and wondering why they're getting so fat and we're seeing diabetes at an early age. But this program is designed to try to help turn that around, and with me here in studio to talk about it is Kathleen DeChardonnay. She is the director of the initiative and a longtime sustainable foods advocate. Welcome to the program, Kathleen.
Thanks, Hannah-Beth. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you and speak to your audience about what we're doing at the School Food Initiative. It's really exciting to do this work and to have the opportunity to make some real change in the school and see immediate proof that our programming is having an effect in the county.
Well, I want to just start with a little bit of background so our listeners know. You, according to your biography, which I suspect you had a hand in, you began your career in the food service industry at age 11 by selling home-baked pies in your Chicago neighborhood. You had picked the fruit from local backyard trees, made the pies according to your grandmother's secret recipe. I'm wondering if it's still secret, but perhaps. And then you delivered the pies by bicycle. And, of course, here we are today talking about making delicious foods from locally sourced ingredients in ways that honor the environment and also the dignity of those who produce it and consume it. I think that those are certainly enormously impressive goals. Now tell us a little bit about how you and the School Foods program are going about doing this.
We have several aspects of our programming, and the cornerstone of which is culinary training for food service workers. And that pie baking that I did long ago morphed into a culinary career. I was professionally trained as a chef at the New York Restaurant School in Manhattan, and that culinary training plays a big role in what we're doing in the schools. That for many years, as school food programs were cut back and they opted to go to processed food, there wasn't much cooking done in schools. And what we're hoping to do is introduce cook from scratch programs. So we host culinary boot camps for food service workers, and we have professional chefs teaching these. So we teach things as basic as knife skills, food safety and sanitation, time management, and in the kitchen we have sauce making, vegetable cooking, we do poultry cooking, all just very, very basic food techniques. It's kind of a crash course in culinary education in 1 week of intensive boot camp. That's why we call it boot camp.
And you've gotten a great response, haven't you, here in Santa Barbara?
You know, it's really been wonderful seeing how boot camp has does more than just provide skills, but we really see it changing the hearts and minds of food service workers. During the middle of the week, we show the movie Food, Inc. And for a lot of ladies and a few gentlemen that participate in our programming, it's a real shock to them to find out that what they're doing is not just isolated to school districts, but really is a reflection of what's going on with our food system. That it's much cheaper to buy processed food, it's much cheaper to cut back on labor, but all these cutbacks have really had a cost, and who's bearing the cost really is our kids.
Well, now the mission of this program that's funded by the Orfila Foundation is to empower school districts to implement and sustain nourishing cook-from-scratch food programs. Mm-hmm. So there's part of it. But also part of it is to educate our children and their parents about nutrition, is it mm-hmm. not? Tell us how you go about doing that.
We say we don't say the N-word, nutrition, very much. We like to talk about it more in the terms of food literacy, because I really feel that that's knowledge that has eroded from our generations, probably for about the past two. People don't even know what food is. We had a fifth grader in Goleta that couldn't even identify a baked potato when it was handed to him. So people not only don't know about cooking, but they don't know what real food is. So we're trying to connect kids with how their food is grown through our school gardens program. And that we do with our partner at Santa Barbara City College. And they they install gardens and then work with the teachers to implement standards-based lessons from the garden into the classroom.
And when you say standards-based, what does that mean?
We are looking at the California standards because schools are very much involved with teaching to the test. So it's hard to add anything into the curriculum that doesn't do with teaching to the standards that then they will be tested on. So we need to make sure that whatever we're doing is integrated into that standards-based education.
Well, that's kind of a challenge, although certainly we know that children who are over-sugared, underfed, under-nutritioned, don't do so well on the test because they're not able to think as clearly. And isn't that certainly part of the problem we're seeing today is our children, particularly our underserved communities, and particularly in the urban areas. They don't have good nutrition near their homes. They have these sort of corner stores that sell things like Cheetos and beef jerky and, again, those huge Cokes. And this is, and even fast foods. This is really almost a crisis, is it not, in our schools today? Isn't this part of the reason that you set up this program, or the Orfila Foundation set up this program, really to kind of educate? And it's mostly our local Santa Barbara schools, at least at the moment. Is there an effort to kind of expand that out, to set this as a model for other communities?
We are looking to develop a replicable model, but right now our target is Santa Barbara County, the public schools. We are involved in at least 10 districts here in the county, so we are in the North County as well, and just starting to get involved in the San Ynez Valley. So we are working on our county first, and also with an eye toward national efforts. We hope to get involved in some national public policy, because as much as you can develop grassroots action, I think it's also important to look at that grass tips to be able to sustain the change. And that would come from a change in federal public policy with the National School Lunch Program. I think that, you know, certainly children's behavior, their ability to learn, their ability to become productive citizens, so much depends on their being healthy. And for a lot of these kids, particularly the underserved kids, we refer to them as kids in the free and reduced lunch population. They get the majority of their calories and nutrition from schools because they may have both breakfast and lunch and possibly a supplement from school. So it's really important that food that we provide for them has a good nutrient value.
We're talking with Kathleen Deschardened. She is the director of the Orfila Foundation's School Foods Initiative, and she is here to talk with us about the new year as it comes in and the programs that they are doing to try to make it more nutrient. Well, we don't want to use that. That's an N-word. I always thought that was a good N-word. We could use that, but food literacy. And let's talk a little bit about, you talked about what we're doing with the food workers. How about, what kinds of programs do you provide for the children themselves?
We do some educational programming for the kids. The school gardens are considered part of that educational programming. But we also do a junior event in elementary schools where an entire school gets together to cook a dish. We've done ratatouille. We've done a winter vegetable ragu with the kids. Parents can't believe that the kids are eating kale and eggplant. But if they grow it and if they cook it, they will eat it. So we do the junior chef event, which is really big fun with the kids. And we also take that junior chef event and create a math class from it, doing a recipe extension. We talk to kids about measuring, and we do developmentally appropriate activities with each grade, whether it's peeling carrots, shelling peas, anything like that, that they get to do.
We are talking with Kathleen Deschardened. I'm Hannah Beth Jackson. You're listening to Hannah Beth on the Air. If you have any questions or comments or just want to kind of get into the discussion about nutrition, or I guess we should now call it food literacy with our youngsters and the food workers and even the agricultural community, please feel free to call us at 879-5478. That's 879-5478. Let's talk a little bit about the agricultural community. There is, I know, an effort, and when I was actually in the legislature, I worked with the folks in Ventura who tried to bring farm-to-school products and actually were very successful in bringing particularly salad days. They would do three salad days a week. I hope we're still doing those programs. But the goal was in part to bring in the local agricultural community. Tell us about the efforts you're making.
Local procurement is another facet of our programming, and we have a staff member, Eric Cardenas, who is our agriculture and infrastructure manager, and Eric connects farmers with the food service directors at the schools to do some local purchasing. And at this point, we're looking mostly at produce, but we've really seen an amazing amount of local produce introduced to our schools. I think in conjunction with the food literacy, kids need to know who produces their food, that they have a connection to who produces the food. The kids in Santa Maria drive by that food growing, you know, the broccoli, the cauliflower, and to know that, that's their food that is grown there, and it hasn't been trucked all the way down to L.A. and spent time in a warehouse and then shipped back to them. It comes right to the school, right from the field,
now,
fresh.
Now, I have a question for you. How do you get the kids to like broccoli and cauliflower? That's always a tricky one. Those are tough vegetables. In fact, we had a prior president, I think W's dad, who told everyone he didn't like broccoli, and then suddenly the broccoli, which was the number one agricultural product many years ago in Santa Barbara County, the sales plummeted. How do we get children to enjoy those kinds of foods? Those are tough veggies when you're little.
I don't know. I really think that that's a myth, that kids won't eat vegetables. It certainly hasn't been our experience. When you use good quality product and you use proper culinary techniques so the food smells good, looks good, you know, I think that maybe this is one area where the nutrition community really fell down, was they didn't pay attention to the aesthetics of food. Food was food, whether it came from a can, came from a frozen source, but we really feel that fresh produce as locally procured as possible, so it's fresh. We have a lot of organic produce in our schools. People don't realize this. But that food that tastes good from the start, and then it's prepared using good culinary techniques.
Now, of course, this matters because, and I think in reading your materials on your website, a third, you've indicated a third of all children who are born after the year 2000 can expect to live a shorter life than that of their parents due to diet-related illness, overconsumption of sugars and fat-laden foods. So this is a staggering notion that today a third of our children can expect to have shorter lifespans than we do with all the things that are happening in the medical community. Here we are looking at a lessened lifespan because of things that we can do something about.
Yeah, it's preventable disease, and I think that, you know, that's the good news and that's the bad news. We can do something about it, and the National School Lunch Program is a taxpayer-funded program, so I think it's incumbent on all of us to make sure that for many of the children that get the bulk of their nutrition in those school meals, to make it appealing and to make it nutrient-dense.
Well, you're doing lots of other work on the political scene, which is of great interest to me. Perhaps we can have you come back and talk about some of that, the papers that you've written, an expose on the dairy industry. You call it a dance to the dairy industry tune. There, the School Nutrition Association did something calling for promoting chocolate and other sugar-enhanced milk products. I mean, these are things that are ridiculous. I think just almost common sense will tell you, but these are big industries. So perhaps we can talk about that at a future time. But if people want more information about what you're doing, the School Foods Program, where can they go?
Our website would be the best place to go. It's www.schoolfood.org.
And give that to us one more time.
That is www.schoolfood.org. And that is our website. We have lots of information for all of our stakeholders involved, parents, educators, politicians, to talk about what we're doing.
Great. Thank you. Kathleen DeShad-Ned, Director of the Initiative for School Foods, part of the Orfila Foundation efforts. Thank you so much for being with us, and good luck in this coming school year.
Thanks, Hannah Beth. It's